السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace and blessings upon those of you that are our brothers and sisters in Islam. And salutations and greetings to our guest as well. I appreciate this session enormously. You have posed some very good questions. And one of the things I like about this event is the things that you have questions about, those things that perplex you most about the given religion that is being talked about, you will ask questions with the pure intention of trying to understand what that religion is all about. Without any further ado, some of the questions that have come forth are: if Islam supports women to be beaten, spousal abuse, then how can Islam be a religion of peace? Another question says here that Islam and violence are very closely linked. Why is this the case? Another question that has been sent forth: when we examine the life of the Prophet of Islam, we see it being filled with wars and hatred towards disbelievers. Another question has been brought forth regarding Islam is that we see a lot of phrases in the Quran sanctioning various types of killing, murder, and hostility towards anyone that does not agree with them, be they Muslims or non-Muslims. All these questions I appreciate, and of course, in being fair, the Bible has the word killing in it. No one ever said the word killing must be removed from the Bible. In fact, we heard of the Crusades, and they talk about it in our schools, be it high school, college, etc. And no one ever says that all Christians are violent people. We have to separate the violence of the people to that of what the Quran views as violent and what the Quran sanctions for people to do in order for them to defend themselves. In fact, if you look at the life of the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you will see that he had taken a lot of abuse from people. Be it throwing garbage on him, being it him being hurt, and in the Topkapi Museum in Turkey, his one tooth was broken as a consequence of him defending himself. So you see, Muslims, when they defend themselves and they are successful in the defense, then they are looked upon as violent. And if they just sit back and take the violence, then they are looked upon as weak, but well deserving of it. Let me give you some example. No one goes around and says that a Buddhist is violent. Yet you and I know full well that in Burma, Muslims were being burnt alive. Literally being burnt alive. And Islamic tradition clearly makes it known, as far as burning another human is concerned, it is an absolute no-no. You cannot burn humans. You cannot burn animals. You cannot burn fields, plantations, unless those plantations carry a tremendous amount of disease, and the only cure for burning that plantation will be burning it. The only cure for that plantation and elimination of the disease will be through burning. But yet nobody ever says Buddhists are violent and terrible people. When you look at the Bosnians, when they were being slaughtered, the women folk were being raped in what we will call modernized Europe, Muslims were saying, just give us arms to defend ourselves. You don't have to come and defend for us. Just give us the arms and allow us to defend ourselves. What did many Western countries say? When I say Western, I'm talking about the major countries out there that you and I are quite familiar with. And we don't want to mention country names because it's not, we want to attack a given country or people. And what they said to the Bosnian Muslims, they said to them, if we give you arms, then the violence that is being perpetrated against you will double. In other words, if you defend yourself, there'll be more violence. So it's okay for you to be raped and slaughtered and killed and maimed and destroyed. Have you ever heard of such insanity? Yet, no one ever calls those Western countries tyrannical, terrorist, barbaric, or that of which sanctioned violence against Muslims. And some of those countries, mind you, their presidents happen to be part of the Christian faith. Never will we say Christianity sanctioned such violence. Because Muslims, fortunately in this regard, they are smart enough to distinguish between a Christian versus that individual that claims to be a Christian and supports terrorism. Why can those same sentiments not be extended towards Muslims? When Israel sends off a rocket and the rocket hits a civilian population, Muslims don't say Jews are now terrorists. Whether they are or they are not, it's a separate issue. But you will not see the headlines. In fact, sometimes Muslims will say, well, maybe they were, yes, they were wrong in sending that rocket, but we can understand as to why it landed on innocent civilians. I don't know how they can justify it, but Muslims have done it. So as you can see, people of different backgrounds and faith have taken part in actions of violence. However, we have never, ever labeled the religion of the Buddhist to be tyrannical, the religion of the Christian to be tyrannical, the religion of the Jew to be tyrannical. What we say is these people that are following these religions are taking this religion as hostage, and it's a major no-no. Thereafter, I see the final question that has been posed is, what solution can you give so Muslims are not so violent? Again, there is this perception that when Muslims defend themselves, they are wrong to do so. For example, we know what is happening now in Pakistan and what has been happening for a long time. Drone attacks, individuals that have been killed because of them being suspected of being Taliban-oriented. The solution for all these grievances is found in the Quran. And the solution that Allah gives us in the Quran is for all people, and it can be followed by all people. Allah says, for example, wal asr. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr. Asr is also a time of prayer. It is that prayer before sunset. It's a very critical time in the day of a believer. For women, it is a critical time because if they're traditional women, they are now cooking and getting ready for dinner, and a lot of movement is now taking place in the home. For businessmen, it is a critical time. They are closing their sales. They're getting ready to go home. They may have to pay the employees. They have to take stock of how good business was. For the employee, he or she is getting ready to go home. They may have to buy groceries on the way, make a deposit, make a payment, pick up the kids from school, pay the tutor. It's a very critical time. And Allah is saying, even though it may be a very critical time, O believer, if you have chosen to believe, then it is important and imperative for you to now make sure that you will not neglect your understanding of your Allah and the demands that Allah has placed upon you, be it prayer, good relations, etc., etc. In fact, it comes in a hadith, one of the two most critical prayers in the time of a believer. One of the most critical prayers a believer can perform is the Fajr Salah, which is the morning prayer before sunrise, and Asr prayer, which is before sunset, or way before sunset. Depends on the time zone, an hour before sunset, hour and a half before sunset. In fact, this is what is attained from the tafsir of the phrase, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى, where Allah is commanding the believer to protect this prayer. And many scholars have said it's referring to the Fajr and or the Asr Salah prayer. Thereafter, Allah says, and this advice, by the way, if Muslims followed it, non-Muslims followed it, it can create a change in their lives. Allah says, innal insan. Insan generally is translated loosely as human. But if you look at the root word of the word insan, it implies forgetfulness. The root word of insan, one of the meanings of it is that which is inclined towards forgetful behavior. Allah could have used so many different phrases instead of insan here, inna nas. But why did Allah say inna insan? Allah is passing the message that verily humans, that human that always forgets, hopefully he will not forget and she will not forget the humanity within themselves. Hear what I'm saying? Verily that human, that type of human that does not forget the purpose of their very existence, Allah is saying that human too is at a loss unless إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So humans, Allah is giving us advice. Don't become negligent and lose your humanity. And humanity is not linked to how much charity you give and how good you are. But those are good things. But that alone is not enough. Because many of us say, I do random acts of kindness, so I'm a human. Allah is saying, no, no, no. A human is that person that does not forget the obligations towards the Creator in such a state that they choose to also believe in the Creator while doing everything that is good. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And while believing, they continue acts of goodness as the Creator wishes and demands of them. For example, a man may say, or a woman may say, I'm giving charity, I'm giving everything in the path of Allah, I'm giving everything away. And the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, says, no, there is no need for you to give everything away at all times, especially if you have children. Leave things alone, leave things behind for them. Don't just give it all away. Because you may give away your wealth to uplift somebody else's life, but in the process, you may hurt your own children, which may turn them away from religion and other good behavior. Therefore, the Quran is saying, humans, do not get yourself into being unworthy and everything you do is unworthy except your belief in the Creator and doing good things as the Creator requires. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. And simultaneously, advise and incline yourself and help yourselves. Not only prescribe that which is good, but hold on to that which is genuine in nature and continue on the pathway of patience while treading it yourself and helping others tread on it as well. Now, in summary, your questions are very valid. I'm not shooting down your claims regarding Muslims and the evil nature of spousal beating, or Muslims and violence, or for that matter, the various horrors that you see in the Muslim world. I see one question here. How can Muslim countries call themselves Muslim when they exploit foreigners that come into the country as laborers? I agree that a lot of wrong is taking place in the Muslim world. Much of these wrongs are also taking part and are happening in the Western world as well, European countries as well, America as well. We know that there are Hispanics that work for lower than minimum wage, no less than 10 hours per day, picking strawberries. Nobody ever says America is a horrid country. So much of the problems we see in the Muslim world is also occurring in other worlds, in other places. And it's our duty to assist in a good and positive change through words of God Allah. And I firmly believe if Muslims focus on these words, they can create changes for themselves and those around. Again, no society is perfect, no people are perfect, except for that which Allah says is perfect. And whatever Allah has said is perfect, if we hold on to it and follow it, then we will attain goodness, not only in this world, but inshallah, in the hereafter to come as well. Again, I thank you all for inviting me, and God bless. And if there are any further questions, I'll be more than glad to answer it one-on-one. Again, I thank you for your time. God bless. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.